Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I went to my dentist, and my dentist goes, "Oh, your gums are so good now." And I said, "Well, I'm taking this stuff called Balance of Nature." And she pulls out a bottle. And she goes, "Oh, you want some?" And they were all hooked on it. It's really good.
I have cut down on supplements so much with this because it's giving me a balance, and I can tell it. And I can really definitely see a difference in energy, stamina, and I'm sure that if that's doing better, the inside of me is doing better.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Hey, everybody. Just letting you know that Mike Lindell and I, the MyPillow guy, we partnered up. And he wants to help this show, and I want to help him. If you go to MyPillow.com and order all the products you know you're going to buy, towels, sheets, blankets, robes, all these kinds of things, dog beds even, go to MyPillow.com and use the code word KATE, K-A-T-E. You're going to get the deepest discount on all these items. They're the very best of all these items. He handpicked these things. And let me just tell you, you're also going to help Truth and Radio, and you're also going to be helping Mike Lindell. Isn't that fantastic? It's a great combination that you can do right from your own home. Call 800-873-1052. That's the phone number, 800-873-1052. You can order directly on that phone number or go to MyPillow.com, but make sure to put the code word KATE in. Thanks, you guys.
When you really want to ban guns, but everyone's buying guns with their stimulus checks. Tyranny. It's not as easy as it looks. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Mr. Bloom has 2 minutes.
I rise again, I'm afraid, to make the same old hoary speech that I've been making here for several years, and that is, it is my opinion that you do not really understand the concept of banking. All the banks are broke, and why are they broke? It isn't an act of God. It isn't some sort of tsunami. They're broke because we have a system called fractional reserve banking, which means that banks can lend money that they don't actually have. It's a criminal scandal, and it's been going on for too long. And most of the problem starts in politics and central banks, which are part of the same political system. We have counterfeiting, sometimes called quantitative easing, the artificial printing of money, which if any ordinary person did, they'd go to prison for a very long time. And yet governments and central banks do it all the time. Central banks repress the amount of interest that rates are, so we don't have the real cost of money. And yet we blame the retail banks for manipulating LIBOR. The sheer effrontery of this is quite astonishing. It's central banks that manipulate interest rates, Commissioner. So when banks go broke through their own incompetence and chicanery, the taxpayer picks up the tab. It's theft from the taxpayer. And until we start sending bankers, and I include central bankers and politicians, to prison for this outrage, it will continue.
Hi there. Yes, that was Bloom addressing the Parliament, very outspoken critic of the banking system, as he should be. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Milty is still out, and I'm so glad that you're listening in from all over Chicago and Alabama and Missouri, everywhere, New York, you name it, Oregon. And happy to have you because today's guests are Jared Dillon, and we'll be talking about the economy and then also where we stand in the economy. So if you have any questions, this is a great time. And then also to finish out the show today, we have Evan Sayet and the Woke Supremacy. His new book, and he did The Kindergarten of Evil. You'll love him again. So happy to have you, and of course, happy to have Jared Dillon on board today. How are you, Jared?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. I'll tell you, you have a memoir called Street Freak, Money and Madness at Lehman Brothers. You also founded your own financial publishing business called The Daily Dirt Nap. Love that. Daily market commentary. You're the guy. You're the guy to talk to you about the economy, what's happening, and where we're headed. And this will just be an interesting hour because I'm excited to hear what you have to say. And I'm I'm leery. I'm worried, as most people are. We knew when Biden and his little crew got into office that we would see higher taxation, that we would see the funding is out of control, funding for programs that they want to put through. And here we are, a little worried about what's about to happen. And I think a lot of people have questions about the bubbles going on right now, real estate bubble, you name it. Also, stimulus. Let's talk about the stimulus checks, shall we?
Oh yeah. Let's talk about that.
Okay. Let's do. Go ahead.
So we've handed out a total of $3,200 in stimulus. Mm-hmm. I think it was $1,200 the first time around, then $600, then $1,400.
Right.
We're also handing out enhanced unemployment benefits. We're basically paying people more not to work than to actually work. We're handing out benefits for child care. What's going on here? I don't know if you've noticed this where you live.
Mm-hmm.
I live in the Myrtle Beach area in South Carolina, and this is a town with a lot of hospitality businesses. There's a bunch of hotels. There's mm-hmm. 1,000 restaurants.
Right.
And all of these places can't get people to come to work. They refuse to come to work. And the reason, and it's just, they're rational economic actors. They're just saying, well, why should I come to work if I'm getting paid more to stay home? So I talked with a woman yesterday
mm-hmm.
who works at the front desk at one of the hotels, and she said she's checking people into the hotel at midnight because they only have a couple of housekeepers, mm-hmm. and they're working as fast as they can. And even the owner of the hotel is cleaning rooms.
Jeez.
Because they simply do not have enough people to do this, and it's because they're staying home. So what's happening here is that the private sector is bidding against the government for workers. And the net effect of this is it's creating wage inflation. In order to get people to come to work, the private sector has to raise wages above the point what people are getting for stimulus, and then people will come to work. And this is going to create a lot of inflation that is going to pass through the economy.
Ooh. Nobody wants to hear that. That's terrible. Oh my gosh! And I do believe you're right on this. People will not go to work. If you get paid more, why would you? Where's the incentive? You know, we're creating almost a universal income, if you will, right?
You know, I would. I mean, we'll talk about basic income in a second. You know, I would talk. You know, if I were to create a government, I don't believe the government should be in the business of nudging or incentivizing people to do things, but to right. the extent that a government does that, we should be incentivizing people to work, and we should be incentivizing people to save. And we're doing the opposite. We're incentivizing people to stay home and spend money.
Right.
And spend money the opposite. It's impossible to save when interest rates are zero.
Right, right. And, you know, the amount of the stimulus always cracks me up because it's not like it can, in my eyes, it's not like it could do a whole lot, yet it hurts us because we're the ones that end up paying for it. Do you want to talk about the ridiculous stimulus cycle?
Yeah, so we've done $1.9 trillion already. By the way, a lot of people don't really have an idea of what a trillion is. A trillion mm-hmm. is a million billion. Okay, that's what a trillion is. So we've done $1.9 trillion in stimulus that had the $1,400 checks.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're talking about a $2.25 trillion infrastructure bill, only about 6% of which only goes to infrastructure. Then they're talking about another stimulus bill after that. We're talking about, you know, if this keeps up at its current pace, we're talking about $10 to $15 trillion in spending in Biden's first year. You know, a lot of people complained about the deficit under Trump, but this is way above and beyond what Trump did in terms of the deficit. We're going to be running deficits that are bigger than what we had in World War II. We already are. We're already running deficits that are bigger than what we had in World War II when we were building aircraft carriers and planes and tanks.
Mm.
Now we're just handing out checks.
Jeez. What's the end game with that? Why push us into the trillion-dollar oblivion? Because I've never seen a year where we passed multiple trillions before. Have we ever witnessed that before?
No, this has never. It kind of happened after 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Obama, for a couple of years, ran $1.8 trillion deficits. And then what happened was, in 2010, Obama lost 63 seats in the House to the Republicans, And then for the next 6 years of his presidency, you basically had this forced austerity because Obama was dealing with a Republican majority in Congress and couldn't get any spending passed. So in the last 6 years of Obama's term, there actually wasn't a lot of spending. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in 2022. Now, the conventional wisdom is that an incumbent president usually loses seats in the House and Senate during the midterm elections. I'm not so sure that's going to happen this time around, because what they're effectively doing is buying votes with this stimulus.
Yeah, and then we have fraud on top of it. So of course, it's like a huge win-win for them. So they just hand out candy, or in this case, money, and people vote, right? They vote their small little paychecks.
It's bread and circuses, and you mentioned taxes, so let's talk about taxes for a second.
Sure.
So, you know, the tax part of this, Biden does want to raise taxes, and he's looking to raise, I think it's $3.5 trillion is the number, but that's over 10 years. Okay, that's over 10 years, and that's $350 billion in a year. So in the context of the overall deficit, this really does nothing. You know, if you're talking about $350 billion of a tax increase in a year, and you're spending $5 to $10 trillion, it doesn't do anything about the deficit. And the reality is that with the deficits that we're running, you could raise taxes on every person, every corporation to 100%, and it still does not make a dent in the deficit.
Wow. Wow. I know everyone's probably trying to digest that. I'm talking with Jared Dillian. You can go to jareddillian.com, D-I-L-L-I-A-N.com. So the cycle that we're in right now, where does this bring us, do you think, in a year of what we're dealing with right now? What will it look like financially in a year?
We're gonna have inflation. See, basically, the Democrats don't understand the most basic economic concept of all, which is the concept of a trade-off, okay? Mm-hmm. And you learn this when you are a child. When you're 5 years old, your mother says to you, you can have ice cream or you can have cake,
right?
But you can't have both.
Right.
Right? You can't have both.
Right.
And what the Democrats are doing is they want to have both. They want to have aircraft carriers and they want to have stimulus checks. And for now, they're basically just issuing a bunch of debt in the bond market, and they can have both, but there's always a trade-off. Thomas Sowell used to say this all the time. There's no solutions, only trade-offs. And the trade-off is inflation. I talked about the wage inflation that we're experiencing. You know, right now, we have about 2.5% inflation. I think that next year it could be 4 to 6% inflation. And 4 to 6% inflation is pretty disruptive.
Right.
And I think once it gets out of control, it's going to be very difficult to reverse.
So what does that look like to real estate and jobs and incomes and everything that everybody's worried about right now?
Well, you talked a little bit about real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you know, we spoke before we got on the air.
Sure.
And you mentioned real estate about, you know, people think that the real estate market being a bubble. I don't think the real estate market is a bubble. In fact, because interest rates are so low, even though the prices of houses are high, affordability remains pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You can afford a $400,000 house instead of a $300,000 house because mortgage rates are 3%.
Right.
And so the economy is growing. We have recovered from the pandemic. It will continue to grow. In fact, it'll run hot, and I expect housing prices to go higher. I don't think it's a bubble. So if somebody is listening to this and they're thinking, you know, I'm thinking about buying a house, should I buy it now or should I buy it later? You should definitely buy it now and take advantage of the low interest rates.
Ooh, that's good advice. Hopefully you'll come back for 5 more minutes. Can you stay?
Yep.
Okay, we're going to hit a break right now, but I just wanted to direct you all to jareddillian.com, where you can get more about what he's talking about. And of course, Jared is a radio host too, and also is on many shows. Let me say that he's a great economist, and I'll be right back with Jared Dillian. Don't go anywhere. Jareddillian.com. Be right back.
Yeah. appointment for a limited time.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show. Money, money, money,
money. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show here. Oh, yeah. We're talking money. We're talking investing. We're talking banking. Welcome back to the show. Make sure you get over to MyPillow.com, order up some products, and support Mike Lindell. He just put out a new movie, Scientific Proof, where they actually take you through all of the of voting software in all the different states and exactly what happened. So all based on evidence that you can watch right on the film, Scientific Proof. Go to MikeLindellTV.com. But when you go to MyPillow.com, make sure and put in the code KATE, K-A-T-E. When you do, you will get 30% off. You're going to love this. They have a 2-for-1 on the sheets right now. The sheets are the most amazing Giza cotton I've ever slept on. They are so nice. You're going to love these sheets and the towels, the MyPillows, you name it. He picks the best of the best in product. So with Mother's Day, Father's Day coming up, make sure and go to MyPillow.com because you will be supporting Truth and Radio. And at the same time, supporting Mike and getting wonderful products for it. So it's a triple win. What can we say? I just wanted to reintroduce Jared Dillion. He is with me. He's an economist. And also, you can go to jareddillion.com for more information about Jared and what he brings to the table in talking about the economies on many radio shows. And it's nice to get a feel from Jared where he thinks things are going and where we stand right now. So, of course, we have to talk about the Federal Reserve. We just have to. So let's talk about that, Jared, and welcome back.
Hey, thanks. So sure. The Fed has two mandates. They used to have one mandate, and that mandate was price stability, which basically means fight inflation. Then they added another mandate in 1966, which was full employment. So the Fed has two mandates, which is they are fighting inflation and they're trying to maximize employment. Now, in the last couple of years, and it's really picked up in the last year, the Fed, they don't have these official mandates, but they have sort of these collateral duties. They're really focused on how monetary policy influences climate change. They're focused on how monetary policy influences inequality and how it helps minorities. This is real. This is what the Fed is doing. This is what they're focused on. Now, what they're doing right now is... No, I'm not being serious. Jeez. So... What they're doing right now is they're doing this massive program of quantitative easing where they're buying not just treasury bonds, but mortgages and municipal bonds and corporate bonds, and they're suppressing interest rates to artificially low levels. And what's interesting about that is that during the pandemic, you know, we did have a very sharp recession, but not that many companies went out of business. That's what should have happened. A lot of companies should have gone bankrupt, but that didn't happen because interest rates on their bonds, on their debt, were suppressed to 3 or 4%. So there were only a handful of corporate defaults. So if you think about capitalism, capitalism is a process of experimentation. Capitalism is unplanned. You have to allow for failure, and you can't have capitalism without failure. So what you have is a bunch of zombie companies that are existing in this low interest rate environment that should be out of business.
So then what happens? Where does this go?
Well, what happens is it makes the economy very inefficient. You know, if you go back to the year 2000, when we had very high interest rates, and that was a very tight monetary policy environment, and it makes the economy much more efficient.
Okay. All right. So then from there, what are we looking at now? I mean, with everything going on right now, where does this, I mean, I'm actually just in awe of what the Fed is studying right now and what they're trying to prove right now. I can't even believe it. It's like a piece from the Onion. But what happens in the future? Do rates go up or down? What do you see with the Fed?
Well, what's happening is that we're issuing, the government is going so far into debt in issuing so many bonds that it's starting to force interest rates up. So 10-year interest rates have gone from about 0.5% to about 1.7%, and they're going up. And if interest rates continue to rise, then you're going to get to a point where the government is basically insolvent and can't afford the interest on the debt. Now, the central bank is supposed to be independent, But Janet Yellen is the Secretary of the Treasury, and she used to be Fed Chair. Jay Powell worked under her under the Board of Governors.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people speculate there's going to be some coordination between the Fed and the Treasury, and the Fed will actually cap interest rates and prevent them from going any higher, which is going to lead to a crash in the dollar, gold exploding higher, and lots of inflation.
So do we see another 2008? Do we,
no, we're going to see something very different. You know, it's not going to be, you know, 2008 was a deleveraging from too much debt.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, that was sort of a deflationary bust. What we're going to have is the exact opposite. We're going to have an inflationary boom. We're going to have an economy that runs very, very hot with lots and lots of inflation. It's going to be the exact opposite problem.
Okay. Wow. And so trying, and so after watching, you know, grocery bills go sky high comparatively to what it was maybe 6 or 7 years ago, and watching the prices for homes just skyrocket, right? What else do we notice? What else do you see,
well,
the biggest hits of inflation?
I mean, it's only the beginning. I mean, if you think grocery bills have gone up, and they have, they're going to go up quite a bit more. And I think housing prices are going to go quite a bit more. Things are going to get very expensive. You know, the funny thing about inflation is that the first couple percent, it kind of feels good. It, you know, it feels like the economy is picking up. It feels like we have sort of this, you know, roaring 20s going on. That's what some people are calling this, the roaring 20s. But once you get inflation up to a certain level, then it starts to get disruptive. And you go back to what happened in the 70s when we had cost of living increases and, you know, 14% inflation, like that's where we don't want to get to.
Right. I can't even imagine what that would look like right now. And so the roaring 20s, it ended up with the Great Depression. And so that's where you see this going eventually. Yeah. Right.
Well, yeah, the funny thing about the roaring 20s, I mean, my favorite president of all time is Calvin Coolidge.
Mm-hmm.
Calvin Coolidge was president from 1923 to 1929.
Right.
And the great thing about Calvin Coolidge was he was very cheap. He was from Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very tight with the buck. And this was after a big recession. He shrank the size of government and balanced budgets. And what we had was this decade-long boom where you had massive increases in standard of living, massive technological increases. I mean, the Roaring 20s, a lot of people say, well, it ended in the Great Depression. But, I mean, it, just look at it in the context of everything else. I mean, the 20s were awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was growing. Things were happening. And so as we look to, I remember the 80s, and I remember the high inflation in the 80s. Trying to even get a mortgage at 14% was insane. What, does it go higher than that? Can it sustain itself going higher?
See, the thing is that mortgage rates will probably go up about another 0.5%. They're at 3.1% right now.
Mm-hmm.
They'll probably go up 0.5% to 1%, and that's where the Fed steps in and caps interest rates. I don't really see a danger of mortgage rates going to 6 or 7%. And by the way, my first mortgage was at 7.25% back in 1999.
Wow. So looking ahead, people that are worried about investing a lot in the stock market, or what would you tell people right now about what to do? Because people are worried. They contact me all the time about it.
Well, there's no reason to be afraid of a crash in the stock market. That's usually what people are afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is the market going to crash?
Sure.
It's not. It's probably going to go higher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're worried about your investments, what you should focus on is your asset allocation. And if all of your investments are in stocks, if you have 100% stocks, that's too much. 80% is too much. You should have a mix of stocks, bonds, gold, real estate, other asset classes, which will insure you against the volatility.
Mm. Is there like a telltale sign of something going on that people could be very aware of, as we've identified in the past, maybe a precursor to something kind of bad happening that you've noticed?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I mean, just remember, you know, it's the opposite of 2008. I mean, it's not going to be a depression. We're not going to have this huge recession. It's going to be the opposite problem. So people should think of ways to protect themselves against inflation. And I talked before about buying a house. You know, when you buy a house, and you have a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage, that actually is a great thing to do in an inflationary environment.
Right, keep it
because
low.
Because the payment stays the same, and your income won't go up over time, and the size of that payment will get smaller and smaller in real terms.
Hmm.
So it's a great time to invest. It's a great time to buy a house. I mean, this is the environment that we're in.
Right. And so investing in real estate, just make sure you get it on a fixed, just to preserve that low cost.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other hints that you'd like to let people know? I'm talking with Jared Dillion, by the way, jareddillion.com.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, the bond market is a little bit tough right here. It's very difficult to get income in this environment.
Mm-hmm.
Treasury bonds are yielding 1%. Investment-grade corporates are yielding 2%.
Right.
Junk bonds are yielding 4%. If you look around in REITs or high-dividend stocks or MLPs, you can get 6%. But this is a very difficult environment to get income, and that's by design. I mean, that's what the Fed is trying to do. The Fed doesn't want you to invest in bonds. The Fed wants you to invest in stocks and take as much risk as possible.
Mm. All right. And then, of course, digital currency. Did you want to comment on that? Because it seems like the first stimulus bill, that's where they want to go.
I mean, I invested in Bitcoin a while back.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it in 2019. I sold it in January of this year. I did pretty well on it. Bitcoin is a little bit of what you would call a decentralized Ponzi scheme. It's not actually like a classic Ponzi scheme, but it's an early bird game.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a security. It doesn't have any cash flows. It doesn't pay any dividends. So you make money on it by buying it before everyone else and selling it before everyone else. So it's a little bit of a confidence game. I'm not a big fan of investing in Bitcoin. If you want to have 1 or 2% of your money in it,
mm-hmm.
this is a hedge, that's not a bad idea.
Okay. I love all this. Jared Dillion, a former trader at Lehman Brothers, and of course the Daily Dirt Nap, All the Evil of This World and Street Freak are two books you can grab over at Amazon. There's so many places, Goodreads, by Jared. Any parting advice for anybody coming in, and where do we land? Where do you see us in a couple of years? Just the high inflation?
I think in a couple of years, mm-hmm. in a couple of years we'll have significantly higher inflation. And I think people are enjoying this right now. But I think in a couple of years, we're going to have very high oil prices. We're going to have very high gas prices, commodity prices. Groceries are going to be more expensive. Economic misery is going to go up. And all of this is going to be happening right around 2023-24 when we're having the next election.
Ah, I see. And we don't have a lot of rising of the wages. In fact, aren't we about the same as like 1991? I think the average wage is $53,000 a year.
That is changing as we speak. You're going to see wages go up. Wages are going to go up.
Interesting. Okay. All the Evil of This World, Street Freak. Go to jareddillion.com for more information on Jared. The Daily Dirt Nap. You're constantly putting out the financial market newsletters. They can sign up for this at Jared Dillion.
Go to jareddillionmoney.com.
JaredDillionMoney.com. Sorry about that. Money.com. Okay. JaredDillionMoney.com. Thanks a lot, Jared. Really appreciate you joining me.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
That was awesome. Thank you. I'll be right back on The Kate Daly Show. Do not go anywhere. KateDalyRadio.com. Over 2 million podcast listens now. It's crazy, isn't it? And the recorded live show. And be right back live in your area in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
For a limited time.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Get money. Dollar bill, y'all. Come on now.
Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. Make sure you get over to Balance of Nature. Make sure that you are getting the product that everyone's talking about, and it's because it's that good. Otherwise, I would never talk about it on this show. Balance of Nature, fantastic product, 31 fruits and vegetables a day, every 24 hours, 31 fruits and vegetables dehydrated down into these capsules, and they're easy to take. They're small, they're amazing, and you'll feel that lift throughout the day. Also, your body is going to get all those nutrients, which it actually really needs right now. Our food supply is so in trouble. We've done so many shows on it, but we really are in trouble for the amount of nutrients that we are that we're actually getting in our food is just nil. Please go get Balance of Nature, and I would order up. I really would. I would order extra and have it in your food supply because it's dehydrated down. It'll last, and it's nice to know that you've got all that. It's just peace of mind. Balance of Nature. Put in the code Kate, and you'll get 35% off and free shipping. It's such a great deal. And then order it for a loved one. It really is that good. Balanceofnature.com. You get a free health coach with it. Through all my research, when I was researching supplements, they were above and beyond all the other ones. And you can get the fiber and spice drink, which is amazing because it's got everything in it to help with weight loss and cholesterol and arthritis. And I mean, you name it, it will help. It's got everything they could pack into it. And you can take that every day. Just mix it with water. It's just awesome. Or juice. All right. So I'll take a caller. And then I want to talk a little bit about China. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah. And your last the last guy you had on mm-hmm. had a lot of good points, but he was missing one little piece of the puzzle there. That's the main thing about with this inflation that's coming.
What's that?
It makes it seem like, well, your wages will keep up.
Mm-hmm.
Your wage will keep up, but your taxes will be going up. It's already happening to corporations as they're charging more.
True.
Their tax, that's mm-hmm. already the plan that's going to be in the mix. So yes, it's going to be a very big tightening. It's not going to be, oh, well, at least the price of things is going up, but my wages are keeping along with it.
Yeah.
Yes, all that will happen, but the taxes taken in the middle by the government they have to go up, and they will go up.
Right.
Especially when we're headed down a direction of only a one type of government. We only have the mm-hmm. elite, powerful type of or corporate government that's mm. going forward. We as the individual people are lost until the entire system breaks down. And my feeling is going forward, what we'll have is this great inflation, but that will destroy consumption, which will then bring about the big deflation as we lose the demand side of the equation of what we need in our economy.
So what
and
would
it's,
you
it's taken
tell
out by mm-hmm. the interest. Go ahead.
So what would you tell people to do right now? So people are worried about a year to two from right now. What would you tell people? What would probably be a good way to kind of shore themselves up for what's coming?
I would say the number one thing is look at your life and look at where you're at, basically saying my wants and my needs. Have I got everything I need completely covered and it's okay? Mm. Then I can fit in a want and basically even diminish your wants. You have to start looking at your life living as low as income, as expenditures as you can. If you're expending a low amount of money right now, mm-hmm. then when it becomes hard, it will be easy because you'll already be there. Live the Dave Ramsey life now.
Mm-hmm.
So that you won't be starving in the future, not to live like other people in the future, live like people different,
excellent.
Like that person today, but just so you're a living person in the future.
Excellent. Thanks for the advice. Really appreciate it. I want to talk about China for a moment. Oh, by the way, you can go to jareddillionmoney.com, by the way, to get more on Jared, the guest that I had too. So Chinese investments. So my friend Bill Engdahl wrote about this, and I just wanted to share a little bit about this with you. Chinese investments in the U.S. housing are reflecting this part of a flight of capital from China. And the big part of that is the wealthier Chinese citizens moving their money abroad to avoid taxes and scrutiny. They can do that by investing in foreign properties, right? So they're buying up properties here and some other places too. But I wanted to talk about this for a second. Chinese buyers have led foreign investments in U.S. homes for the past 7 years. Did you know that? The Chinese buying American homes last 7 years is at an all-time. They've led in foreign investments. So 2019 to 20, they bought U.S. home properties worth $11.5 billion and a little bit more than a sixth of the total. And so other investors that came in, Canada, Mexico, India, and Colombia in that order. House prices grew 8 percentage points more in U.S. zip codes with high foreign-born Chinese populations from 2012 to 2018 in a paper called Global Capital and Local Assets, House Prices, Quantities, and Elasticities. And so this came from Wharton. And then Bill was talking about this, about the Chinese bubble, and he said when the buying collapsed after 1929 here, Wall Street's foreign lending boom became a vehicle that severely worsened the U.S., right? Industrial depression. And so the whole edifice of dollar credits that supported Europe's debt pyramid during the 1920s rested on the loans of New York banks, all, above all, you know, J.P. Morgan, of course, to Europe to refinance short-term credits. The U.S. government had insisted at Versailles in 1919 that Britain, France, and Italy pay its U.S. war loans in dollars. So much of the credit from New York banks had flowed from Germany after the 1924 Dawes Plan, currency stabilization. Within 6 years, various German municipalities and private companies and other things had issued bonds underwritten by New York banks, right? And Germany borrowed $4 billion from abroad during this period. So I wanted to talk about history for a second, because in that period of 1924 to 31, $6 billion in American credit poured into Europe. And it was equivalent to 2021 to some $92 billion. If U.S. war loans by the Treasury and the cost of war itself were added, a total of $40 billion in U.S. funds had gone into Europe in less than 15 years, fully one-fifth of American GDP in 1914. So once the consumer credit carousel stopped in 1931, the consumption boom collapsed, right? And Americans simply couldn't afford to buy on credit any longer. Well, he talked a little bit about China. He said in 2018, there was a study of home prices averaged 9.3 times annual incomes, outstripping inflated San Francisco's 8.4 times. So Beijing, because what he's seeing is kind of a similar thing going on here. He said that Beijing is clearly alarmed and since January has issued strict measures to force local governments away from continuing to feed the real estate bubble that's going on in China. And so in 2020, to counter the corona lockdowns, the economic recession, Beijing issued major stimulus measures. Now, with the economy slowly restarting, Beijing is determined to deliver the bubbles in stocks as well as the real estate in hopes of creating what China's calling dual circulation, which in effect means while trying to maintain growth of exports, the Chinese increasingly getting its 1.4 billion citizens to consume more domestically, right? To lessen dependence on risky exports. They don't want to be caught in that again. So this will be, they said, no easy job. This is what the Chinese are saying. What Beijing authorities are attempting to do is cap the real estate bubble to block speculative borrowing from second homes in hopes that the funds will go to other consumption to try to control it. So what the world economy is descending into by the day, deeper into decline, China recently issued orders for local governments to ensure spending on infrastructure to maintain dual circulation economic growth. Last September, the Evergrande Group, as of 2018, the world's most valuable real estate company with some $121 billion in real estate and related debt, underwent a cash crisis owing to its excessive debt burden and slowing economy. So in this really desperate effort they did to develop new revenue sources, the real estate group diversified into solar and pig farming and agriculture and baby formula. That's not a real reassuring sign. Why did they move away from the market that they excel in? So the Evergrande crisis is kind of the time for being under control as it sells billions of dollars of assets to reduce debt. And the scare led Beijing authorities to double down on local hidden real estate debts. So he says if the troubles continue in the local bond market spillover in the national sovereign bond market, the huge market and worth a staggering $18 trillion that would drive bond markets far higher, triggering a wave of local defaults in less viable projects, including real estate. And so he said, ironically, major real estate firms like BlackRock and Bridgewater and major Wall Street banks have been investing in the promise of a China economic recovery. So with the U.S. bond markets on a kind of this razor's edge, right, in recent weeks, new $1.9 trillion Biden stimulus, national debt, soaring, right? It would take a little from China's bond crisis to trigger a repeat of the 1931 Austria crisis. Only this time, the entire world economy is bound in a debt system that is out of control. So as of January, global debt has climbed to a record $281 trillion, adding an unprecedented $24 trillion in 2024 corona measures. And that is part of the Great Reset Plan, to blame China for what the BIS, the central bankers, the real gods of money, have engineered since 2008. So that'll be kind of interesting to keep tabs on, to watch as we see them leading still in the foreign investment in homes here to avoid taxes there. They come over here to buy homes. That's lending a little bit to this bubble, but also what's going on over there too. And it is interesting that he brought up what the Evergrande was doing, because they've always kind of done one particular thing, and now they're sort of going off and branching out, which is kind of a sign, don't you think? So this will be interesting to watch. He just talked about their scale of debt that could force liquidation of China dollar assets abroad, including an estimated $1.04 trillion of U.S. Treasury debt, as well as Euro bonds. So it's going to get interesting. I think so. And I love what the caller just said. Start to really kind of live within your means and get out of debt. Be ready for what's coming. Something is coming that's going to be really hard to deal with, whether we are gradually in the big proverbial, pot of hot water and don't realize it, the frog in the hot water, or as we gradually start to get an uptick in all, we're seeing it in property taxes. We're seeing it in taxes in general. We're seeing it in about everything. Look at your grocery bill. Compare it to 5 years ago. It's outrageous. It's outrageous. It used to be a cart would be about $100. For the longest time, it was about a cart full of groceries. And now it's about a quarter of a cart. Quarter to a third of a cart is about $100 in funds. So it's growing. Food's getting smaller, if you've noticed. Food is getting much smaller. And are you shoring up your food storage? Do you have enough to get you through? If something were to happen to your income, and at the rate of what we're having to deal with in living expenses, are you ready for that? Make sure that you've got food storage ahead. Just make sure that you're living within your means. The most important lesson, right? If I was on the coast, I'd probably get out of there. I really would. Your taxation is skyrocketing at a pretty high rate. And also, the cost of living, my gosh, it's insane on the coasts. Get out. Just don't bring your politics with you, but get out. And then also, if he says inflation is going through the roof, and like our caller said, taxation as well, what are we going to do? The cost of wages, in 30 years did not really rise that much, considering. But we're going to be looking at inflation for a number of years. How can you deal with that? What are you doing right now to be able to deal with that? I think getting into fixed rate loans, if you have to, would be the best. And I liked his suggestion on that. Make sure that yours is a fixed rate. Don't do an ARM. That can hurt. I've done that before, and it does. It hurts. So when it goes up. But I thought William Engdahl's take on China was kind of interesting to add into the mix, because he's kind of keeping his eye on what they're doing. And I do think that is real worthy of discussion as well. And I'll be inviting some more economists on the show to talk about these things, so we can talk in more breadth of a conversation, if you will, about these things and where they lead us. But at the rate that they're going to have to tax for what's going on right now, and we're going to get nailed for it. We're going to get nailed for it. There's no doubt. We all know that, right? Evan Say It coming up. You'll love this. The woke supremacy and the new book, and of course, The Kindergarten of Evil. That you're going to love him. You did last time he was on the show. So stay tuned for Evan Say It. And be right back on The Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com, for all the podcasts. Share those far and wide, if you will. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate that. I'll be right back with Evan.